This is Bajan Rahasyam, October 28th, discussing the Ashtamiyam Sarada. And we're going word for word back. We're discussing word for word. Yesterday we discussed verse 13, Adarshanam Amarmahatam. How that Radharani's feeling brokenhearted and a separation from Krishna. And now we're going to discuss verse 14. This text 14, when this is describes the, this is elaboration on Adarshanam, absorption in Krishna's happiness, how the Brajagopis are absorbed in Krishna's happiness. The depth of the gopis' love for Krishna is shown by their fear that Krishna will feel pain when he walks in the forest. And then they state that in this verse. They're thinking of Krishna wandering the forest and they experience great sorrow. And this is again a verse from Gopi Geet, verse 11. Chalasi yad brajat charyan pashun nalina sundaram natate param shila trinankore siratitina kalilatam mana kanta gachati. And Gopi said, O Pranavallabha, O Krishna Kanta, when you go to the forest of Braj to herd the cows, the soles of your soft lotus feet, which are like beautiful blue lotuses, they must suffer as they are pricked by the small stones and dry straw. Thought of this disturbs our hearts and minds. This is the thinking of the gopis. The gopis are thinking of Krishna's feet. And he's walking, and some difficulty he may be feeling. This is the extent of their love, that they're worried about everything, even about his feet. O Lord, when you leave the cowherder settlement to take the cows to the pasture, then your feet, beautiful as delicate blue lotus petals, suffer on account of the pebbles and sharp grasses. O Beloved, the thought of your suffering brings us so much pain that you become fixed in our minds. Then Vishnu's commentary. And of course, commentaries are usually given on the word for word. So here they're saying, when the gopis see Krishna going off to the forest, they start to engage in arguments with their own minds. So this is very interesting. It's amazing the depth of perception of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who is Hari Vallabha. Is Vinod Valari Manjari. His other name is Hari Vallabha as a sadhaka. He sometimes signs his poetry like that, Hari Vallabha Das, servant of the beloved of Hari Radharani. But in his Manjari Sarup, in his Siddhadeya, as Vinod Valari Manjari, he enters into the minds of the associates of Krishna, he enters into their hearts, and he says, this is what Krishna was thinking, this is what Radharani was thinking, this is what they're, this is actually what they're saying here. And if Krishna said, this verse is telling Krishna's statement, but in response to this, Radharani would have said this. And then he explains which, and it's amazing. No one before him has taken this liberty to enter so deeply into the minds and hearts. Hare Krishna. No one has taken this liberty, enter so deeply into the minds and hearts of the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. He seems to have a free access there. Consequently, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Bhakti Shastras and the commentaries on the traditional books like the Gaudiya commentaries and Gopal Tapani Upanishad and Bhagavatam, of course, are so much appreciated by members of other sampradayas, the Nimbarki Sampradaya and Vallabha Sampradaya, And other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they really appreciate the contribution, especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So in this regard, he says, Krishna, of course, he's not there. The gopis are separated from him. And this is from Gopi Gita, chapter 31. So they're imagining, oh, you've left us, you're wandering in a forest, and it's dark, you can't see anything. In the daytime, when you're wandering with your cows, you can see the pebbles and stones, and you can try to avoid them. But now it's nighttime, and who knows what you might step on out there, because it's very difficult and dangerous to walk at night, because you can't see clearly. And they themselves are sitting under the full moonlight of Sharad season on the bank of the Yamuna, and they're speaking this. So he says, the gopis are having arguments with their minds. One gopi says, oh mind. And one gopi is having this argument with her mind. It's the gopi speaking and the mind speaking. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining what the gopi is saying and what the mind is saying in reply to the gopi's statement. Very interesting. The gopis say, oh mind, if Krishna suffered when he went into the woods, then why would he go there every day? Oh mind, why are you wasting time worrying about Krishna? The mind says, you stupid milkmaids. The mind is the gopi's mind who's saying this, and the gopi is speaking to her mind, hey mind. And the mind is saying, you stupid gopi, have you ever had a conversation with your mind? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Is it like every minute? Is your mind talking ceaselessly day and night? Do this, don't do this, this is good, this is bad, this you shouldn't do this. Shut up, mind. I'm going to do it. No, it's not a good idea. Just take a back seat, man. Then we go. Don't listen, Gopi. The soles of Krishna's feet are softer than the hibiscus flower, which is that pink flower there. That's called hibiscus. It's used to compare the Radharani's feet are like tender hibiscus flowers. Listen, Gopi, there are so many sharp pebbles and twigs in the forest. How is it possible that Krishna's feet will not get hurt by walking there barefoot? The gopi responds to her mind. You foolish mind! Of course, when he's walking in the forest, he walks on the soft, sandy paths, naturally avoiding all those coarse and rough paths which will be filled of stickers and burrs and pebbles that you're worried about. Then the mind says, listen, don't you have any sense at all? Do you think that the cows are some kind of robot? That they have some kind of software inside the cow, walk on the soft, sandy path. The cow walks wherever he wants to. He wanders here and there. He hears some sound, he follows the sound, or he sees some grass in the forest. He doesn't care. He makes his own path. Do you think the cows stay on the path, all the soft, sandy paths? They wander everywhere looking for grass to eat. Then the gopi replies to her mind, oh mind, you are blind with love. Krishna has eyes in his head, don't you know? Do you think he's not watching out for things that might hurt his feet? The mind says, listen, don't you have any love for Krishna at all? Don't you think he might get distracted and accidentally step on something that hurts him? Moment to moment, second to second, he's attentive looking at every place. You've all had the experience of walking barefoot on parikrama, and at night or in the day, and you try to keep your eyes on the ground, but sometimes your eyes see a monkey or a Neel guy, you see some Neel guy grazing at the top of Govardhan Hill near Punchari in the early morning around sunrise. This Neel guy, it's like some type of horse, and looks a little like a cow and a horse and deer or something, some kind of beast. And then you, oh look, oh, ow. And then you stub your toe, you hit your foot, or you step on some of those dried bobble thorns. There's a little twig with those nice thorns on it. Babul, babul, nice kanta, kanta? Kanta, they're long, nice and long, so they can go in nice and deep. And they're hard. And if that's not enough to really get you going, then these needles, these thorns, needles, they have a little poison on the tip. So when you step on them, usually, and they cut your foot, you usually get infected. That's very nice. And your feet get all swollen up and this and that. So that can happen if you're inattentive. As they say, it's like a razor's edge, a little inattention on the path and bingo. So the path of Parikrama Marg is like the path of Bhakti Marg. There's the Parikrama Marg, the path of Parikrama. If you don't keep your eyes on the path and you veer right and left, oh, look at that. And, oh, Krishna, I was thinking the wrong thing. Then the gopis say, oh, brother mind, what you say is true. It seems that we are made by God just to suffer this kind of pain, worrying about Krishna. The mind replies to the gopi, oh, you poor girls, you at least are able to remain alive. I, on the other hand, am leaving your bodies right now along with your life heirs because I cannot bear the thought that Krishna might hurt his feet while walking on these thorny, stony, stickery paths of Vrindavan. So you can keep your life, but your life heirs and I are leaving right now. This is a very interesting dialogue to show the extent of the gopis are arguing with their minds. Yes, he's being hurt. No, he's not. Yes. Oh, he is. And we're also suffering. We were just made to suffer because we're worrying so much about it. The potential or the possibility of Krishna undergoing some slightest pain. That is our lot. Providence has made us like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakura puts a verse in his own Bengali. Denulai brajahate jabe jhavane nalina sundara tava kamala charane shilankure kashta habe manete vichari mahaduko bhai mora ohe chitahari. Oh, Shyamaju, when you leave the cowherd settlement to take the cows into the woods, then I fear your feet as beautiful as and delicate as lotus petals will suffer on account of the pebbles and sharp grasses. O stealer of the mind, ahoy chittahari. Somehow English never quite makes it. This, of course, is Bengali. Ahoy chittahari, O stealer of the mind. Chittahari is Mahadukapai mora ohe chitahari. The thought of your suffering brings me great pain. Mahaduk. Mahadukha. Mane devi chari. When I think about this, when I consider this in my mind, I can't bear it. So this, again, this verse shows the extreme extent of love of the gopis. And there's a commentary here. It says that this the gopis are remembering the loving glances of their pranakant Krishna. I was just thinking, I was reading this verse, it's to describe Krishna's feet, because we should actually get involved with Krishna. We should, like someone said, oh, I'm really involved with this person. Acha? Do you know so-and-so is really involved with so-and-so? I'm sure. To what extent? So we should get really involved with Krishna. Everything about him should be attractive to us. And if it's not, then we should practice being attracted. That's what Vaidhi Sadhana is. It's practice. We practice on becoming attracted to Krishna. We don't want to go to Mangalarti because Krishna is there and I'm in my bed. And I'd rather stay in my bed. I'm attracted to that more than seeing Krishna in the temple of Mangalarti. Oh, but my guru told me to go to Mangalarti every day. So on the order of Guru Agya, on that force that I'm, here I am, Shiv Jago, I'm out the door, I'm going to Mangalarti. Oh, and then when I see in the morning Mangalarti, how Radha Shyama dressed, or hardly dressed, and just one garland, and it's even more Aishwarya now I've seen in the last few years. In the morning they have a couple necklaces, and although very simple dress, I remember about 15, 20 years ago, they were much more simply dressed in the morning, even more cute in my estimation. Not even any garlands, no flower garlands, and maybe one necklace. Very, very plain, simple. And they just woke up, they were sleeping. So one sees that darshan, then he's okay, I came, but I'm not attracted. But as one goes further, he develops his attraction. Then he wants to go. Oh, I must see. How can I start my day? I'm just wallowing in this bed. And I can just, by a little bit of effort, I can get to the temple and see this beautiful, indescribably attractive forms of Radha Shyama Sundar. And you're rewarded. The smallest effort put into Krishna consciousness brings the greatest reward. We think it's a colossal event if we can drag this stool body out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like a major earth-shaking news. It's like earth-shaking news. You know, it's live coverage from BBC and whatever other kind of Sony, this, that, all the news stations. So-and-so actually got up at 4 o'clock and bathed and got to Mangalarti. And then we see you get rewarded with that, for that little effort of getting up. When you get there, gee, why don't I do this more often? I usually come and see the deities at 9 o'clock in the morning, or 8 o'clock, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But they look different. Krishna's anurag, his attractiveness, it changes from moment to moment. What he looks like at 4:30 is not the same as what he looks like at 7:30. And what he looks like at 7:30 is not the same thing he looks like in noontime, or 4:30, or in the evening time. He's a person. He has different moods. It's not that he changes his clothes 10 times a day, a couple times, but he sees different moods and different responses. So getting involved with Krishna means, when we read a verse like this and it says that Krishna's feet are softer than lotus petals, then we kind of glide by all these wonderful adjectives and metaphors to describe the spiritual world and the members of the spiritual world, how they walk and how the body parts are. And then we take this one minute description of Krishna's lotus feet, or even that word, lotus. It says it's softer than a lotus petal. That's right. So we think, well, that must be soft. Well, let's go a little deeper than that, because it's kind of a idea or an assumption. But what if we've never seen a lotus flower? What if we've never seen a lotus petal? But if you've actually seen one, and then you've contacted and you've taken it, and you take a lotus flower, then you see that different petals are softer than the other ones. Isn't it? Just like you take a tamal tree. An old leaf is kind of hard and firm and rough, but a new leaf is very soft. Very, very soft. So the inner petals of the lotus, the newer ones inside, very, very soft. So you touch that and you think, Krishna's feet are softer than this. And that's why the gopis are saying that. It's not that the gopis are thinking, oh, we're great, we're great poets, we're great kavis, we have to make some wonderful analogy here. But no, they make lotus garlands all the time for Krishna. Vaijayanti Mala, right? And they make flower garlands. And then they pick up, oh, gopis, this petal is so soft. And then sometimes they massage Krishna's feet. They press his feet. And I saw these. This lotus petal on one side. Krishna's feet are softer than this lotus petal. It's direct experience. It's realized statement. It's not a poetic expression of their literary expertise. It's actually this direct experience. In other places in Shastras, it says that Krishna, that's his feet. That's his feet, which is pretty soft. So this is, you know, because most of us are quite intelligent. I think everyone sitting here is very intelligent and cultured and experienced in life. And we want to appreciate when the Shastras say that Krishna's skin, of course, is his transcendental body, such as Ananda Vigraha, its skin is softer than a newly unfurled tamal leaf, leaf of a tamal tree. Okay, well, that's great. I just run through this in the Stabamala, and I'm happy with that. Well, an inquisitive scientific person like all of you are, and who wants to get involved with Krishna, and wants to get attached to Krishna, wants to know more about Krishna and feel more and experience Krishna as much as he can with whatever he has within his command of mind and senses and body, they might say, what is a tamal tree? And they say, oh, and you're in Russia, or whatever. Oh, they're in Vrindavan or something like that. Maybe in Mayapur also they have. So then you come to Vrindavan and say, hey, can you show me a tamal tree? And so, yeah, here I have it over there, there's one. Acha. There's any new leaves here? And they see, yeah, this is, see this little at the end, this light green in color, it's a different shade of green. This is newly unfurled, a new leaf. Acha. So you go, experiment, scientific experimentation. So then you touch the leaf. My God, this leaf is softer than a baby's cheek. So then you feel that leaf and you say, oh, this is so soft. And Krishna's skin is softer than that. That's his skin. And then his feet are like lotus petals and you touch. Then what's the conclusion? There's the hypothesis, there's the observation and experimentation, and the conclusion is that Krishna is really soft. And that's his body and his feet. But what is his heart? Krishna's heart is Radharani. Ladini Shakti is his heart. His love potency, his heart, heart is where you love from. So when Krishna expressed his love potency, it came out as Radharani. So Krishna's skin is soft, his feet are soft, but how soft is his heart? Because Radharani is his heart. Krunamayi Radha. She's so soft and tender. It's a tender Kishori. Nitya Kishori Pritamajodi Shri Radhe. So now the gopis are remembering his gentle smile, joking and talking with them in seclusion, and their hearts become disturbed, and then they start to express, they speak directly towards Krishna. O deceiver of the heart, how can we keep our peace? We don't know. Our hearts are anxious, both when we meet you and when we are separated from you. And that's what, this is the tika to this verse, which is, you know, all about this prem bhajan, which is all about, you can embrace me, break my heart, you can trample me under your feet, you can crush me by your loving embrace of intimacy and sweet love, or you can break my heart by not being present before me. Ashlishiva padratam panashtamam. So the gopis, so this whole verse is all about, it's prem sambhog. Sambhog means together, enjoying together, but it's also separation is there. So the gopis are speaking like this. They say, listen. They say, our hearts are anxious because when we meet with you and when we're separate from you, the gopis are always anxious. This is the nature of free love. There's certain anxiety, there's no surety, there's no conviction, there's no confidence. This is spontaneous love. It's not love based on relationship. Marriage is love based on relationship. And theirs is love, is relationship based on love. So it's not a legal bond. It's not a contract. So the gopis are a little anxious. Will we meet him tonight for the Avisar and lover's tryst? Or maybe he doesn't come. So there's nothing sure, but a wife never thinks, well, will my husband come home tonight? It's sure, it's patent, it's standard. This is relationship, this is love-based, relationship based on love, as a gopis. So now they're speaking like this, they're disturbed. Oh Krishna, of course, they're not speaking directly. They're just speaking to the Krishna that they see in their mind. Oh Krishna, in the morning you're surrounded by countless sukhas You take innumerable cows to the graze in the forest, and the Brijvasis, deprived of your darshan, are plunged into a deep ocean of separation from you. Brijvasis, that means everyone, including them. When we think of your lotus feet, which are softer than a thousand-petaled lotus, and we think that when you're walking in the forest, following the cows who are walking hither and thither off the path, your feet will become pierced by the dry straw, thorns, sharp grass, and so forth. Then that thought sinks our heart in a fathomless ocean of anxiety. How can we tolerate any pain to your feet, which we consider non-different from our hearts? Sometimes they have an expression, your heart is my heart. You're in my heart. You're in my heart forever. And the Gopis are saying that your feet are our heart. Just like there's that pastime of in Barsano when Chandra Banu invited his brother Vrishabhanu for dinner. And then, of course, Vrishabhanu went there to Chandrabhanu's village, which is near, of course, Varsana. Because Chandrabhanu and Radharani went also to see her cousin. Not her best of friends, but this is a family affair. Oftentimes you go to family affairs and you find people there that you don't like so much. Cousins or whatever. They have phrases in America, kissin' cousins, but it's also cursing cousins, cursing the cousin. So Radharani's father is Vrishabhanu and his brother is Chandrabhanu, and Chandrabhanu's daughter is that one. You know that one? That one, Chandravali. So now Radharani is going to her uncle's house to meet with her uncle and aunt, mama and masi or whatever it is, and her cousin, Chandravali. So Vrishabhanu, Kirtita tells Chandravali, Chandravali's a little older than Radharani actually, quite a bit it says in some shastras. At any rate, they're all quite beautiful obviously, she's so beautiful also. Captivating to Krishna's mind also. So the mother, Chandrabhanu's wife, she says, listen, you know, Radharani, she likes to take hot milk at night before she takes rest because she joined ISKCON. No, she didn't join ISKCON. So she likes some hot milk at night. So then she asked Chandravali to make that hot milk. So then Chandravali made the hot milk. But she didn't cool it down, because it's one thing to boil the milk three times so it becomes pure. Prabhupada told us it should boil three times. So you boil three times. And then that means you put it on the fire and it doesn't take much time. You put it on the fire and it rises like that, big foam. Then you cut down the fire and it goes down. Then you turn off the fire and it goes up and down three times. That's what it means. It happens in about 30 seconds. On, off, and each time that vapor cloud rises, some kind of purification process happens there. And then after three times, it's considered quite good. Prabhupada showed the devotees also in New York. He did it himself. And I learned from a devotee who was there, Prampara. Prampara milk boiling. So that's how things were passed down in the early days. From cooking to preaching to everything. Some Prabhupada taught someone Mridanga and he taught the next guy and this and that. So she didn't cool down the milk, she just boiled it, and she could have put it on a tali or she could have cooled it with a fan or something and made it proper temperature to drink, but she didn't. She just served it here. Radharani was assuming that it was made like her mother makes it, because every night Kirtita makes her hot milk and it's nice. You drink it, you know. Oh! So Radharani just took the glass and okay, thank you. And mm. And then she burned her mouth, she burned her tongue. And later that night, Krishna went for a lover's tryst and he met Chandravali. And Chandravali said, you must be tired from walking to Gauri Tirtha, to my kunja. You know, Govardhan is quite a long way. Let me press your feet, Shamju. So then Krishna said, yes, he's reclining on the flower bed. So then Chandravali went to press his feet, which are softer than a thousand petal lotus. She says, oh, Sham, there's blisters here. Somehow it seems your feet have become burned. I said, yes, you burned them. I burned them? How? You burned my feet, don't you know? Earlier in the evening you served hot milk to Radhika. And Radhika is, she is my heart, my feet, everything. So as soon, if you burned her, then it burned me. Because we're inseparable. So she was obviously feeling very shameful about that. This pastime is there. So the gopis from their side, they're saying, Krishna, your feet are our hearts. How can we tolerate pain to your lotus feet, which we consider non-different from our hearts? First we suffer separation from you, in separation. And then on top of that we suffer the pain caused to your crimson lotus feet, which means reddish. How can we tolerate this? Both types of pain. It's interesting. It's quite an amazing concept of pain. Threshold of pain, as they say. Pain, threshold of pain. Usually people are worried about their own pains. In fact, that Prabhupada preaches like that. He said, no one can understand the pains and pleasures of another person. You don't know the condition of my heart. Because usually people hide it all with, hello, hi, how are you, fine? All kinds of artificial facial expressions and postures. So we're good at hiding. You can fool some of the people some of the time. So we're concerned with our own pains, but the gopis are saying, we suffer on our account when we're separated from you, we suffer because we don't have an opportunity to serve you and please you. So then what's the point? So we suffer in separation from you. But then, so that's on our side, we suffer. But then we suffer, you're suffering also. So we know you're suffering. As Prabhupada said, in ordinarily in material world, we don't know or sense or feeling the suffering of another. And the gopis are saying, we suffer when we're separated from you, and we suffer when we think that you're suffering. This is an incredible extent of their heart's attachment to Krishna. Both types of pain break the barrier of our endurance. O Pranakant, please do not abuse your lotus feet. We remember that while roaming throughout the forest with you, you would ask us to remove the thorns that pricked your feet. We would put your feet on our body and remove the thorns gently and slowly. But when your feet are pricked now, who will remove the thorns? So this is a very nice pastime that indicates it's real time. It's really Naralila and are really thorns. Although this is the line of thought and the line of the way the pastime is moving here at this particular description of this type of pastime. And actually Krishna does step on thorns. And the gopis are right there to remove them. That's why they're worried also. Who's going to remove them? Because if you step on a thorn, you have to hold on to somebody's shoulder. You know, it's very hard to get a thorn out of your foot yourself. You can't see it sometimes. You just go. So they're saying, we would do that service for you. So we're worried that who will do it now? Now other commentaries, when they describe the pastimes, they say that yoga maya, Krishna's pastime potency, his internal potency, yoga maya, There are thorns in Vrindavan in Krishna's time. Babu thorns and stickers, and they do hurt the feet. And small pebbles. And they're there. They were there 5,000 years ago. Although we say Chintamani, Bhumi, Chintamani, Prakata, Sadma, Shukalpa, Riksha. The ground is all made of Chintamani gems. That's why Kunta, you bet your bottom dollar, as they say, or bet your boots, or whatever, that in Vaikuntha there's no thorns. Absolutely not. But in Vrindavan, this is a village. This is not a royal city with all diamond-studded roads and emerald lampposts. This is the footpaths are named Prem Gully and Mon Gully, and they're lined with trees, not emerald lampposts like Vaikuntha. So there are thorns and stickers and Yogamaya, but Yogamaya, they're there and the gopis see them. Other commentaries and purports I've read like this. The gopis see them, and they worry. So these thorns and stickers are there to create as an udipan, an excitant or a stimulant to arouse and to increase the anurag of the gopis, the renewed, ever-fresh attachment and ecstatic rapture with Krishna, that they, look at that. Look at, Saki, see that thorn? That's a terrible thorn. I hope Krishna doesn't come this way. And they start worrying and become more and more absorbed in Krishna. So everything, every object in Vrindavan, Brajabhumi, every thorn, every tree, every animal, they're simply udipan, or simply part of the environment arranged by Yogamaya, Purnamasi, and Vrindadevi to increase the loving exchange between Radha Krishna and the gopis. Krishna and the gopis. Radharani. So now the Acharyas say that Krishna's walking, and this is other commentaries, when he's walking and he steps, when he's about, that thorn is there, he doesn't see it because he's following the cows wherever they wander here and there. When he sees the thorn, and then he's coming to step on the thorn, that thorn turns into butter. Because, it's a psychedelic region, Thorns become butter. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Krishna can eat with his ears, eat with his eyes. So it says the thorns become softer than butter by the influence of Yogamaya. So Krishna doesn't, if you step on a piece of butter, it's nice. It's a nice emollient for your skin. So this is, on one side, this is actually happening, that they're there and they see, their thorns are there for the gopis to worry and increase their anurag and attachment. And it's part of the landscape. This is the landscape of Vrindavan is the landscape of the heart. This is the whole, Vrindavan is the heartland of Radha and Krishna. This is the heartland. We say, this is Prem Dham Vrindavan. What does it mean, Prem Dham? Okay, that's all was his words. I don't understand. Prem Dham means heartland. This is the heartland of this land. This is the heartland. And we say it's like a lotus. This bridge is like a lotus. When Radha and Krishna have to go great distances to meet, to be far away from their superiors, and they might be Radharani's in Barsana, Krishna's in way down in Vamshivad. It's 40 kilometers away. So by one level, the lotus appears like this, 40 kilometers. But then Yogamaya, to facilitate the pastimes, because Vrindavan is the land of love, then immediately the lotus closes. When the hand is open, the thumb is a long way from the pinky. This is the thumb and this is the pinky. But when the hand closes, then they touch. So Krishna can easily go from all the 12 forests, like he can walk from one finger to the other, right? You step on the thumb, you can walk to the pinky, middle finger, but then you go like that, then you have to walk down the thumb, across the hand, out to the end of the pinky, right? So lotus of Braj is opening, like the heart. The heart is opening and closing. Heartland of Radha and Krishna, heartland of the soul. Now when one comes to Vrindavan, then he develops his heart. And Krishna enters his heart. But the gopis, they say, wait a minute, okay, that's fine. That's another verse, there's another pastimes. But here it's, we walk with Shama, he steps on the throne, Oh, Radhi. And they take them out, and we were there, so we know. In fact, there's a funny pastime like this. That we told this pastime in Ram Lila, something about the difference of the relationship, the intensity of love for, because the Ek Patni Brata, and Ram loves Sita, and he refused the hand of anyone, of any other beautiful queen or celestial divine personality, comes to surrender to him and serve him, and then he even may have his brother disfigure them. He's so staunchly attached and connected with his Ek Patni Brata, his Sita. And then there's the pastime about when they're wandering in Chitrakoot, Sita Ram. Very beautiful forest like Vrindavan, waterfalls and lakes and forests. Even today it's a very, very beautiful place. It's also in UP, Chitrakoot, in that way. And they're wandering along and Sita stepped on a thorn. And then she, oh, Ram, I stepped on a thorn. Oh, acha. And she stopped. And then she put her hand on Ram's shoulder and lifted up her foot. Then Ram went like this. He went, he looked all around for many minutes. He was looking like this. And she says, what are you waiting? Oh, it hurts. Take it out. Just pick it out somehow. He was hesitating. And he wasn't attending to her pain or to the thorn. And usually you would think of immediately you want to relieve the pain of your beloved, attend to their difficulty. And so then she said, why are you looking around? He said, well, you know, I'm a king. You know, you want me to touch your feet? I mean, they're walking on the ground and, you know, this cow dung and this, that, you know, mud and, you know, it's like, it's not good for my fingernails. You know? And then, and moreover, I want to, but wait, okay, fine, but okay, you're a king and my feet, but why are you looking here and there? Well, I want to see if anyone is, maybe any villager, nearby villager, anyone may see, because if this is completely unheard of, that the king is touching the feet of his queen. This is completely out of the question. It's impossible. The king is getting his feet pressed by the queen, or he's, but the king touching the feet of the queen, this is, it never happened in 1,000 years of royalty. So much consideration. What is the rule? What is the maryada? And then love is like somewhere in the background. It was Treta Yuga and Ram Lila. Now we take Dwapara Yuga, a few 1,000 years ago, Krishna Lila. So Radharani, sometimes she plays like little tricks with Shyam. She's very tricky, Radharani. So is Krishna, but not as tricky as Radharani. So she's walking along the forest, maybe Vrindavan, some forest. And then she stepped on a thorn. She pretended. Radharani's nice. So she's, oh, Shyam, I stepped on some thorn. Quick, okay. Then immediately he just, oh, it's Priyaji, you know, he just immediately bent down and then she put her hand on Alita's shoulder, Avishaka's shoulder, and she lifted her foot. Oh, and he picked her around his feet, and he, oh, please, oh, and he took his pitambara, when I was Uttariya, and he brushed all the Vrajaraja off, and he's looking very tenderly, holding Radharani's feet, very concentrating glance and looking, you know, with this all full heart and mind and attention. And where is it hurt, Radharani? Because he has to find out where is it. So then he thinks maybe here, underneath her big toe. Is it here, under your toe, here? And she says, no. Acha. Oh no, this must be it, under here, in the middle of the foot, there's some mark there. This, the little there, that pain, blue? No. Acha. It goes down to the heel of her foot and the bottom of the heel. And this, I think this is it. This, no. Quick, Sean, find it. Come on, hurry. I can't walk. So he's looking. This? She says, no. Now the gopis are going like this, you know. All the manjis and gopis are going, because it's a joke and there's no thorn. And so then Krishna's getting exasperated. He's perspiring, drops of perspiration coming out of his forehead, and he said, Radharani, he said, I don't know. I'm trying my best to find out where it is. I can't find. And then somebody let out a hoot, or somebody giggled or something. And look, and Krishna, because he's totally, his whole concentration, his body, mind, soul, everything was on Radharani's charan, chinna, on her feet. And then he looks up and everyone's going, and their eyes are watering. And then Radharani said, actually, there's no thorn. Oh, Radharani. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So, you see the difference between Krishna Leela and Ram Leela. In Ram Leela, there's so much vichar, so much lok vichar, consideration of the people, the vox, we say it in vox populi, the voice of the people, the vox populi. What will the people think if they see me touching the feet of my wife? This is unheard of. This is breach of dharma. So they say, we think, O Kanta, surely your soft, tender lotus feet will be pierced by thorns, sharp grass, and stone chips. By such thoughts, our minds begin to dispute with us. And that we already read, how the mind is arguing back and forth. And this part of the purport is taken from Vishnu. So from this purport, we have some nice... it's Vishnu's Chakravarti's purport, but it's not separated. It's kind of interwoven in the commentary. And in this particular edition, it's just Vishnu's Tika as it is, and very nicely, very nice English. But what we did find here was a nice addition of a pastime that we didn't find in the other one. So the dialogue we already discussed, so I think we can, that's a very nice, how the gopis feel is adarshana marmahatam. Adarshanan marmahatam karotava. Without seeing you, Krishna, adarshan. Then marmahatam, our hearts are breaking. We feel great anguish and anxiety, and we're worried about your health and safety and welfare. This is Bhajan Rahasyam. And tomorrow, one more verse, we'll talk about this, Darshanam, text 15.